crown of the gospel. May the word set us free from the bondage of sin, that we may live this life according to thy grace, as indeed peace and joy is our prayer with thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Let us read these three verses together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Two thoughts as we consider why children should obey their parents. Firstly, verse 1 tells us that this is right. And secondly, from verses 2 to 3, that it is a commandment with a promise of God's blessing as we obey. We continue with this series of teachings for a blessed, vibrant, harmonious and happy human relationships in the church that permeates into society. And we said that it begins with a husband-wife relationship. Wives to submit and husbands to love. And the submission of the wife to the husband is in the fear of the Lord, because God has ordained such an order in the marriage. God was the first marriage counselor, and we obeyed for our blessing. And with the marriage comes the formation of the family, with additions when God gives the married couple children. The Bible tells us, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. We gave this in our news article, our pastoral article for this week. And it's from Psalm 127, verse 3. How children are gifts from God to parents. And here in our text, the Apostle Paul addresses the children. He tells them that they are to obey their parents. And this holy injunction that God gives is a command that children obey their parents. And the word obey means to submit to, subject to. The reason why there is so much chaos in society today is that the basic premise for parental authority in the home has been circumvent. When these things are not taught and practiced, then there would be chaos in the home, chaos in the church, chaos in society. And so the Lord tells us that we are that parents with children are to teach them obedience. And the word obey means to hear under. It means to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard. So the children are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents. The writer, an Irishman, Sam Gordon, he said very well, the child who is brought up to obey and honor their parents will always be sensitive to their wisdom, counsel, and welfare. And more generally, you'll find that the obeying of this fifth commandment, this complying of this command that God gives, this instruction that we have in obeying our parents, will do us good as we grow to adulthood. Right? We are able to comply to orders and instructions of a superior in the workplace with the requirement of law. And we are able to, in a sense, live a life that is orderly within the boundary of blessing. And you'd find that it takes some cultivation. This is the essence of the fifth commandment given to Israel by God through Moses in Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So this is a commandment that describes the relationship between men and men, the foremost relationship, the father and the mother are the people who give us life. And Deuteronomy 5, verse 16 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And, you know, honoring our parents, especially when we have non-believing parents, one of the ways to honor them is to bring the gospel to them. And we thank God that, you know, in our midst, we know of those who would spare no effort to share the gospel with their elderly father or elderly mother. And how God has blessed them. Amongst us, we have testimony, right, of how God has saved father, how God has saved mother, because children were cared enough to take time to share the gospel with them, to pray for them. And that is a part of honoring father and mother. And the word honor, it means to give esteem that is due. And the word means paid to worth, give a high estimation. So children is taught here in the commandment to honor their parents for God's glory by giving respect, love, care, and giving of their time, especially when the parents are old. Two thoughts, right, that the Apostle Paul wants to bring to us. Firstly, verse 1, this is right. And secondly, from verses 2 to 3, a first commandment with promise. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is rightful that children obey their parents because it is the will of God. It is according to his revealed word. God decrees it amongst all relationships that this be a relationship that we take the trouble, take the time to fulfill. And so, as such, we said rightly, we follow for our well-being and blessing. Right? Because God is the arbiter of truth from error, right from wrong. He won't teach us that which is, that will harm us. Right? It is good for us, in fact. He tells us what is beneficial for us, what is profitable for us. And then there is the little phrase that is given there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So Sam Gordon, he put it very well. He says, the little phrase "in the Lord" refers to the sphere of pleasing the Lord. It means that when a child obeys his parents, he is doing it for the sake of the Lord Jesus. The priority is always to be for God's honor and glory. When children obey their mothers and fathers, it is a reflection of their obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when children do not obey their parents, what are those times when this injunction is put in question? Well, it is in matters that will bring dishonor and disobedience to God's word. So here, the Lord provides us a guideline according to his word, according to the boundary of his word, how we ought to do this honoring and obeying. And Acts 4, 19 to 20, Peter and John wrote, they said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So what they did at that time when they were bearing witness for the Lord is that they cannot but speak according to the word of God. So the word obey here is in the Lord. And the word obey here is also in what we call the presence continuous tense. Children are to continually obey their parents. It is to be a way or a habit of a blessed life. And that is something that, you know, is so critical and important in child rearing. Children obeying their parents, we see, as we step out of this room, as we go and look at families and societies, we find that this is not the norm, right? Why is this so? Well, the Lord has said to us in his word, Paul himself has said, he said that among the character of the fallen man, right, is this to be disobedient to parents. So it does not surprise us that we are disobedient. But we need to pray for the grace of God to love the commandments of God, to love, to obey our parents. And Paul also wrote, and he said in 2 Timothy 2:3, he said, he speaks of the wayward behaviors of men in the last days, that they are proud, boasters, covetous, lovers of their own selves, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That is the kind of character that we would see in general in society. But the Lord is saying to us that there is a permeating, rightful attitude of life that God wants his people to cultivate. We may come to the faith at an older age. We may not have the luxury of being under the sound of the gospel in our early days. So we may not know the commandments of God. We may not have practiced it as we ought to. But as we learn the ways of God, may God help us to change. May God help us to love his commandment and to obey it. Right? So he tells us, explains to us what is it, why is it right? Right? And here is because it's given to us the first man's first interaction with another man. Recently, I was visiting a family with a newborn. So father and mother were carrying the infant baby, and the first grandparents we said, trying to find their way around how to stay up in the night when children, grandchild is not, you know, need help. The feeding is every 2 hours. So they ask, is it normal every 2 hours? We say, yeah, it's perfectly normal. Right? When the baby cries, it's time for feeding. And but for the mother, the new mother, the young mother, after the birth, it is so, in a sense, physically draining. And at the same time, emotionally challenging because of the lack of sleep. Imagine the baby crying all the time and you can't rest. And mother said, I try to feed the child. But I've just had a cesarean section. I need rest too. And I can't. So grandparents had to come in. And grandparents said, this is our first grandchild. How to? So we said, we pray. Pray for God to guide. In a new family, the young baby that comes, the life that God gives to us. And we said, how that relationship between parents and children is a reflection of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so during our church camp, we were asking last year or the year before, we said, do you think, why did God put us in families? Why is it that you have a father and a mother and you have children? Why is it that God put us in a familiar relationship? Why is it that He created the basic unit of the family as parents with children? The word father, we said, means the source or originator of. So when you call someone father, you are acknowledging that you are from the Father. I'm from you, in other words. That's the meaning of the word father. And father is the one who brings you about. That's the meaning of the word father. That he is from him whereby you come about. So we said he's the father of so and so. This other person, in some ethnic groups, the father's name is placed also, the surname. And so the first function of the father is in creating us. And you cannot come about until you are produced. And this concept that we receive of our existence is to help us to see, as we look at parents' relationship, father with the children and the relationship, it is to help us to see that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is invisible, right, in heaven. How can we know? We cannot understand that relationship, that He is the one that has begotten us. But in that family relationship, when we have our father and when we have our mother, we are able to see and we are able to understand what it means to call someone father. And so our earthly father tells us that we cannot come about without someone producing us. Right? And the other thing that we see is also that you have a likeness to your father, likeness to your mother. Right? We are made in the image of God. We said like father, like son. Right? A son's character or behavior can be expected to resemble that of his father. So we reflect the attributes and character of God. Right? When we are renewed, when we are regenerated, when we imbibe the word of God, we are putting on the character of God. And we want to thank God for fathers and mothers, because it is from the father and the mothers who have, who groom us, right? Who nurture us from the beginning. So the father's function is not only to give rise to us, but also the function of the father is to care and nurture and nourish and educate, right? And it typifies our Heavenly Father maturing us spiritually. So we want to thank God for fathers and mothers. And it is right that children honor their father and mother, because they are the one that gave to us life, gave to us all that we have. And so the Lord gave us the fifth commandment. It's not illogical, right? If you think of it carefully in terms of human relationship, right, that it is the first of all relationship. And if we have understood it, then we would have understand why God gives this command. When we learn to honor our father and mother, right, physical beings, right, that we can hold in the flesh, right, then we learn how to honor our Heavenly Father, right? Which we cannot see, but who has begotten us. And so this pastor by the name of Steve Cole, he made a very good comment. He says, keeping the fifth is foundational to keeping the rest of the commandments. So I'm trying to help us to see why the Apostle Paul tells us this is right. Why is it that this is a right thing to do? Right. Cole said, he says, if we truly honor our parents, we will not disgrace their name by becoming a murderer, by being unfaithful to our marriage vows, by stealing, by lying, or by greed, or by discontent underlying covetousness. The keeping of the fifth commandment also would work backwards toward the first four. If we are rebellious and disrespectful towards our parents who gave us life and sustenance, we will also probably be rebellious and disrespectful toward the Lord God, our Creator and Sustainer. Disrespect toward parents and God will also carry over to disrespect for all authority, and thus will result in a breakdown of law and order, leading to a disintegration of the very basis for a civilized society. Therefore, the keeping of the fifth commandment is not some outmoded, quaint idea to be set aside without consequence. And you see that more and more you would appreciate this as God help you, right, to see life in the society that God has placed you, whether it is in the workplace, whether it is in the home, whether it is in the church, right, when there is no basic reverence for the authorities that God placed over us, then you find that there is chaos. Right? So D.L. Moody, he observed very well. He says, begin in the home. The first four commandments deal with our relations to God. They tell us how to worship, when to worship. They forbid irreverence and impiety in word and act. Now God turns to our relations with each other. And isn't it significant that he deals first with family life? God is going to show us our duty to our neighbor. How does it begin? Or how does he begin? Not by telling us how kings ought to reign, how soldiers ought to fight, how merchants ought to conduct their business, but how boys and girls ought to behave at home. There's an order. And that's the reason why Paul says this is right in his sight. And we do well to learn this. And we thank God for what he has taught us in his word. So precious. so valuable. It brings harmony. It brings blessing and strength. And we realize how weak we are, how we needed the grace of God, how we needed God to give us that ability to do what we ought to do and do not what we ought not to do. So we thank God for His commandments that He instruct us. And, you know, in the strength of the Greek and the Hebrew language is that it has a particular mood, a particular way of expression called the command. And God commands His people, right? Commands us, and is written specifically in the syntax itself, in the grammar of the text, what we ought to do. And when it is a command, what does it mean? We are to obey and follow, right? We are not to... There's no discussion in that sense, because it is good for us. And many things in life is such, you see, sometimes you don't understand. A young child won't understand why parents said, don't touch the fire. Parents said, don't touch. And if the child disobeys and touch, what happens? Well, he gets burned, right? He gets scalded. There's danger. And so we see how God is so good. And He does not give us this first, most foremost commandment, you know, without giving an encouragement, an impetus for us to obey it, to follow it. He tells us that there is a reward that comes. And I can understand why, you know, it is said that it is foundation to all the commandments. Right? Because when we learn how to obey our parents in the home, that's where we learn how to obey our bosses in the workplace. How we are able to do what is needed. Right? And, you know, we were giving the example of Joseph, who was in prison. How, when he was in prison, he had the favor of the prison keeper. When he was at home, he had the favor of his father. Right? He was the one who came to the father to tell them, to tell the father that his brothers were running away, going for some mischief. Right? He did not, you know, keep silent and said, oh, I don't tell my parents what my brothers were up to, because he knew that this is important. This is what he ought to do. Although his brothers hated him for doing that, the fathers favored him, right? Gave him a coat of many colors, right? Because he was a son who was different, right, from all the others. And when he was in prison, he had the favor of the prison keeper. And he was, when he was a servant in the home of Pharaoh's chief steward, he was also made chief, right? The Bible said that, you know, the master of the house gave him everything to take care, except his wife. Right? And during that time, what did he do? Well, he showed himself trustworthy. And that's important. And that, I believe, Jacob, in his old age, took time to train his son so that Joseph was someone, you see, even the Pharaoh of Egypt was favorable to the demeanor of this man, because he knew how to... What is authority? And Pharaoh was willing to give him the second chariot This is the only commandment with a promise of long life. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. So recently we were studying this with a group of youths, and the question was asked, is this literal? Is this a literal commandment that God gives to us, that, you know, we would indeed have long life? I said, it may indeed be so. Right? When we take care of our parents, there is blessing from God, answering the prayers of parents for children's well-being. Right? Your parents pray for you. But if you are a rascal, of course, parents, by his love, they also pray for your good. But, you know, there are those whom parents just cannot love. I know of a situation whereby the child cheated the mother of her house, got the mother to sell the house. Mother said, I felt cheated. For a house, you know, he forfeited that relationship that he had with his mother. Very sad. But here, the mother said, God deal with him. You see? So that's a response that, you know, what to say. And so, D.R. Moody, or his take for this, he says, I believe it to be literally true that our temporal condition depends on the way we act upon this commandment. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and it may be go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Cursed is he that setteth light by his father and mother. Whoso curses his father and mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. This is also from the word of God. How important this basic relationship. And so we observe and we sit, right, that obedience and respect at home prepare the way for obedience to the employer, and it is joined to other virtues, D.R. Moody said, that help toward a prosperous career, crowned with a ripe, honored OH. Disobedience and disrespect for parents are often the first steps in a downward track. Many a criminal has testified that this is the point where he first went astray. He says, I have lived over 60 years and I've learned one thing, if I have learned nothing else, that no man or woman who dishonors father or mother ever prospers. That is his own observation. Right, through life. And so the injunction, the encouragement for us is to obey, right, our parents. And that, you know, we would appreciate it as God would give, you know, if you start a new family and God would give you children. Right, and this you'll find most blessed, right, to take time to teach. And in the Bible is given to us two characters, that of Joseph and that of Absalom. Right? Recently, a few weeks ago, we were studying Psalm 3. Psalm 3 described Absalom's rebellion against the father. How sad it is. Turn the father's most trusted counselor called Ahithophel. So that David had to flee the palace. He walked out very sad, crying. This son spent 40 years at the gate so that everyone who wants to come to David would have to see Absalom first. So he had their favor. And so the whole nation, after 40 years, turned against David. And what did he do? Well, he prayed to the Lord. He says, Lord, please help. And what did God do? God sent a man called Hushai. Right? Immediately, the Bible text tells us, immediately after he prayed, the next verse showed Hushai coming to him. And he said to Hushai, go to the camp of Absalom and thwart the counsel of Ahithophel, which was what Hushai did. When Ahithophel said to David, or said to Absalom, attack your father now. This is the time when he was weakest. It was true. And Hushai said, no, don't do that now. Absalom hearkened to the counsel of Hushai, did not attack David. So David's life was preserved. Well, we said that God preserved him. God knew better. This was a disobedient son. This was a son that rebelled against the father. So here we set two different examples, right? For Joseph, remember he was a filial son right up to the end of his days. Right up to the end of his days when he was prime minister in Egypt, when the father came. Right? He came to the father and he bowed himself, you know, to the father, in obeisance to the father. He was prime minister, but he knew who this man was. Right? He accorded to the father the rightful honor that was due to him. And that was the reason why God exalted him also, so that he can be a witness for the Lord of his ways, of his laws, of his character. And so, we have placed here the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Westminster Larger Catechism, to give to us the most succinct summary of the commandments, what God says in the English language. So, what is the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth. What is required in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment requires the preserving, the honor, the performing the duty, and performing the duties belong to everyone in their places and relations as superiors and inferiors or equals. So he tells us how we are to order relationships in life. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment is forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. So he tells us how we learn how to have a right relation. Right? If all these things is wrong, then family relationships will be upside, topsy-turvy. Right? There will be no peace in the home. But the Lord is good. The Lord didn't leave us without help. And the Lord is very gracious to us. So he provided a way for us. Right? The fifth commandment. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good, to such as keep this commandment. Larger Catechism. What is the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What is meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? By father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, especially as such by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. Why are superiors styled father and mother? Superiors are styled father and mother, both to teach them in all duties toward their inferiors, like natural parents, to express love and tenderness to them according to their several relations, and to work inferiors to a greater willingness and cheerfulness in performing their duties to their superiors as to their parents. What is the scope of the fifth commandment? The scope of the fifth commandment is the performance of those duties which we mutually owe in our several relations as inferiors, superiors, or equals. What is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? The honor which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation for their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections. Not easy. Fidelity to finance and or defense and maintenance of their persons and authority, according to their several ranks and nature of their places, bearing with their infirmities and covering them in love, so that they may be an honor to them and to their government. So you see how all-encompassing this commandment is, the broad, the far-reaching impact and effect. So what are the sins of inferiors against their superiors? The sins of inferiors against their superiors are all neglect of duties required toward them, envying at, contempt of, or rebellion against their persons and places in their lawful counsels, commands, and corrections, cursing, mocking, and all such reflectory and scandalous carriage as prove a shame and dishonor to them and their government. What is required of superiors towards their inferiors? It is required of superiors, according to that power they receive from God, that relation wherein they stand to love, pray for, and bless their inferiors, to instruct, counsel, and admonish them, countenancing, commending, and rewarding such as do well, and discountenancing, reproving, and chastising such as do ill, protecting and providing for all things necessary for body and soul, and by grave, wise, holy, exemplary carriage to procure glory to God, to honor to themselves, and so to preserve that authority which God has placed upon them. What are the sins of superiors? The sins of superiors, besides the neglect of duties required of them, an inordinate seeking of themselves, their own glory, ease, profit, or pleasure, commanding things unlawful and not in the power of the inferiors to perform, counseling, encouraging, or favoring them in that which is evil, dissuading, discouraging, or discountenancing them in that which is good. So that's why it is said in the law. Correcting them unduly, careless, exposing or leaving them to wrong, temptation and danger, provoking them to wrath or any way dishonoring themselves or lessening their authority by an unjust, indiscreet, rigorous and remiss behavior. What are the duties of equals? The duties of equals are to regard the dignity and worth of each other, to in giving honor, to go one before the other and to rejoice in each other's gifts and advancement as their own. What are the sins of equals? The sins of equals are, besides the neglect of the duties required, the undervaluing of the worth, envying the gifts, grieving at the advancement and prosperity one of another, and usurping preeminence one over another. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? The more to enforce it. The reason annexed to the fifth commandment in these words, that thy days may be prolonged upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, is an express promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and to their own good and to all such as keep this commandment. So it's quite plain. Don't need to elaborate that much, or we have elaborated, but this basically is a summary of what we have said. Conclusion. May the Lord instill the discipline of obedience as children. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy mercy upon us in giving us thy word, thy instruction, that we may learn how to walk right in thy sight, do that which is right in thy sight. Lord, we thank thee for thy commandments, and we admit that by our own strength, by our own skill, we cannot fulfill thy will to do thy commandments. But Lord, put thy love in us, put thy grace in us, that we may have the strength to obey thy word, thy commandment, that our lives indeed may be fragrant, beautiful, holy, pleasing in thy sight. Lord, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to serve thee with clean hands and pure hearts. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.